Okay, let's begin. Okay, here we are. Okay, we're up to Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Aleph. Okay, Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Aleph. The Pasuk says, "Emor Al Tochiat Sofel VeYipol." Hashem says to Yechezkel, "Tell the people who smear the wall." Toche means to smear. Sofel means the inferior quality plaster. VeYipol, tell them that the wall will collapse. You're wasting your time. As we discussed yesterday, there are different interpretations as to who is the builder of the wall, who's the one that's smearing the wall with plaster. Is the builder of the wall the Nevi'im, the false prophets, and the Jewish people are plastering the wall, or is the false prophets doing both? The false prophets are the ones who are building the wall, and they're also the ones who are applying the plaster. Or is the one who builds the wall the Jewish people, and the one that applies the plaster is the false prophet? In any event, the plaster. So in any event, the plaster over here on the wall represents falsehood. It represents a false faith, a false hope that everything will be okay. There's nothing to worry about, and just continue along the merry path, and nothing will happen to you. So Hashem says it's a lie. Days are coming very shortly when there's going to be a churban, and the plaster will fall off. The plaster will fall off. We have three different examples of what will cause the plaster to fall. Number one is rain. Number two are hailstones. And number three is a strong wind, a turbulent wind. These three things, each one by itself, will be strong enough to cause the wall and the plaster to fall off and for the wall to demolish. Emor el toche sofel, say to those who smear the wall with inferior plaster, v'yipol, you're wasting your time, the wall will collapse. Hoya geshem shaitef, there will be a downpour, a torrent of rain, v'etein avne el gavish, furthermore, I will bring, okay, I will v'etena avne el gavish. I will send forth hailstones, and tipolna, the wall will collapse. V'ruach se'arois tevakea, and a stormy wind will break forth and cause the wall to collapse. Okay, let's see the mitzvah of pasuk yud aleph. Emar v'yipol return alaymar emar al tochei atofel. Say to the people who smear the wall. Lama atem tochim abin. Why are you smearing plaster on the binyan? Halotedu sheyapil v'lo yiskayim. Don't you realize the wall will collapse? V'lo yiskayim and will not remain standing. Kolaymar ma toeles miyepe hamelitzo. What benefit is there to you from your melitzos, from your expressions? Halayein mamish b'nevua. Your nevu is not worth anything. Hoya geshem shaitef, hinei imya geshem shaitef, v'chein imetein ani es avne el gavish. Behold, if there will be rain, and if I will etein ani avne el gavish, I will send forth hailstones, shetipolna oleha, that will fall upon the wall, v'gam ruach sarah shetiboka es akir, and it will be a strong wind which will cause the wall to collapse. When the enemy will come, then the nevuah, your false prophecies, will come to an end, and you will recognize that everything is sheker. Okay, so basically, the pasuk over here says, according to Mr. David, is that we have over here the metaphors, a lot of metaphors. The wall and the plaster represent the false encouragement, the false sense of security that the nevuah sheker are offering the people. And Hashem says all of this will come to an end in very short time. And the examples given are three things: rain, hailstones, and wind. Let's see. Rashi Pasuk Yud Aleph says, "Ve'etena k'may ve'etain, I will send forth avne el gavish, avne barad gidolais, hailstones." Okay. The Omer Ani Lefi Shehem Mazhirais, why is it called El Gavish? Where does the word El Gavish come to mean a hailstone? So Rashi says, The Omer Ani Lefi Shehem Mazhirais Kichle Kichol Avne Gavish, because they shine, they glow like
this precious gem called Govish. Govish is a crystal. It's a certain type of precious stone. Some say it means crystal. Humedamo is Samuel Govish, Shuhu Evin Toiva. He compares it to a Govish, Shu Evin Toiva Kinyin Shenemar, Ramois Vigovish. Like it says, there's Ramois, these two words. Rabbi Samuel Amru El Govish. What does it mean, El Govish? Sha'amdu Ba'avir Al Gav Ish. That the word Govish means Gav, a back. It's a composite of two words. Gav means the back, and the Yud Shin is short for an Ish. Who is the Ish that we are referring to? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, Vzeh Moshe Rabbeinu, Shenemar, Umoto Lo Nitach Arza, rain did not come forth to the ground. Oysam Shehischilu, Leireid Lo Yigil Aretz. Moshe Rabbeinu was misspelled that the Barad should no longer come to the ground, so the Barad that was in Shemayim was suspended in mid-air. When did those hailstones finally come down upon the world? In the time of Yehoshua. At the time of when the battle of Yehoshua, then those hailstones came down to crush the enemy. Okay, so here we have over here Tipol and Alaki will fall down on the earth. So let's review according to Rashi. Rashi is telling us a very important insight. The word El Gavish means a hailstone. The word El Gavish seemingly has nothing to do with a hailstone, because hailstone is Barad. So Rashi tells us two interpretations. One is El Gavish. I'm not sure what the El refers to. Maybe El means a mighty. El means might. Yesh la El Yadi. Gavish is the name of a precious gem, a precious stone, which is crystal. And hail indeed has the color of crystal. It's clear. It's a crystal type of color. So therefore, the reason why we call hailstone is Gavish, El Gavish. It's a borrowed term. A borrowed term to compare Bara to Gavish. And Rashi's second interpretation is telling us the reason why hailstones is called El Gavish is because we refer back to borrowed Shel Mitzrayim. The borrowed came down upon Mitzrayim. Pyro complained to Moshe, please cause the Barad to stop. Moshe said, I will leave the city, I will pray to Hashem, and the Barad will no longer continue to come down to the earth. And therefore, Gavish means Gav-ish. It stopped. Al, I guess Al means, maybe Al, I'm not sure what he means. Al means it came to an end. Gav through, Al means Al, I guess it means it stopped. Gav through the back of a man. Who is the man? The man is Moshe Rabbeinu. Through the Koyach Atil Moshe Rabbeinu, the hailstones stopped coming down to the earth. Okay, let's see Radak. Radak Pasig Yud Aleph. Pasig Yud Aleph says, Emor El Toche Sofel V'Yipol Habayinim B'chlal V'yonesam Tergim Amar Lidvane Mechitza. Okay, say to those who build. Okay, that refers just in general to the false prophets. He's going here into some grammar, which I'm not. First, the targum, minus targum, amar lidvane mechitza v'shia leitin patir de lo sivan nofel. Who tell the people? I have to tell you. Okay, you have to have. I have here my gears of tin for whatever. But over here, according. Tar of the targum is okay. Nechanaim. Okay, so okay, for some reason the Radak has a mistake. And this Radak has a mistake. But tell the people who are building the wall with Tevin and are smearing it, building a wall, and they're smearing the wall with Tevin, that it will not continue to remain intact. The wall will collapse. V'yipol havav kipei rafa. B'lashon Yishmoel kivav. I don't know what this means. I'm not sure what it means over here. Kipei rafa b'lashon Yishmoel kivav v'yisa avraham esenav v'hadam lo kolemar. Yipol ze habinyan vafilu yechosa kimachshav seichem ki yegeshem shoytev shapilenu. It's going to collapse. When the rain comes, the wall will collapse. Haya is the past tense, but over here it's a prediction for the future. Haya avar b'makam osi. That's very common in Nevuah, where we use the past tense and we're really referring to an event that's going to happen in the future. V'ateina avne el gavish tipolna. I will send forth hailstones and I will cause the wall to collapse. Kineged avne habor yidaber. So this expression refers to the algavish. Okay, going back to the same thing that we did in the Rashi, algavish is a word that refers to barad. Va'oimer lohem, and Yecheskel is telling the people, Tipolna habinyan hazeh v'chein tiyeh ruach sara shetibaka oiso, the wall will collapse due to the rain, due to the hailstones, and due to the wind. And here the Radak summarizes the three different examples, v'hageshem, v'ho avonim, v'ho ruach. The mashal le'oivim are examples for enemies, hachazokim, for strong enemies. So we have a very fascinating metaphor. Try to apply this in modern times. In modern times, there's an enemy called Geshem, compared to rain, come down from Shemayim. There's an enemy that comes, Avonim, stones, and then they're called Ruach. So how would you apply that in modern times? So Geshem means, it's good, Geshem is a bracha. Spies. You have enemies that infiltrate your country. Who doesn't want Geshem? Geshem is a wonderful thing, but you would never realize that in the Geshem, amongst your own people, there are spies who are causing you enormous damage. Hailstones are cruise missiles. Okay, that's the real deal. The nukes, they're coming down to destroy you. Ruach is cyber infiltration. The wind, it's in the air. Who would ever realize that in the airwaves there is an enemy that is penetrating your secure environment and is causing, stealing all of your secrets and who knows what?
The Air Force and the Army.
But I'm just trying to be able to give you some entertainment here. I see we have over here a very... Okay, so we have three different types of enemies, and these three enemies will come and will destroy the wall and will destroy the plaster that is coming to be mechazek the koisel. Let's now go to v'atena. There's one another word over here. V'atena, k'moy v'atena, v'ahena sefes k'moy v'atena yidaten. Okay, there is an extra hay. You don't need the hay here. V'atena. It would have been sufficient for the pasuk to say v'atena. I will send forth hailstones. What is the hay? So the hay no sefes kamo v'atena yidaten v'lesam tirgem v'atena kamo v'at yos avne el gavish ye chason. I will send forth ye chason. It will descend. The hailstones will descend. V'miksas mischois ksev v'el v'es avne al gavish. There are different gersois. Our gerson pasuk yud aleph says. V'atena avne el gavish. Here it says the s avne el gavish. Instead of the word v'atena, there's another girsa, the s. The nun and the he are not part of the girsa. The avne, that's another girsa, that's not our girsa. The avne el gavish, heim avne bar gedolos. Okay, so he's just reviewing that. What are these are called large hailstones. V'ikra el gavish. They're called El Gavish. The El Gavish mil achas b'miksas asfarm b'miksas sam shtey mil. Some asfarm have Al Gavish, and other texts have one word. Do we break up this into two words? The Yesh mefarshim b'mil achas inyan shtey milos doimos El Gavish min ramos v'gavish. Okay, so again, they're different yourselves. Is it one word? Is it two words? He doesn't really explain like we learned before in the Rashi that Gavish again is a precious gem, which is crystal, according to one interpretation, and hailstones resemble large crystals. Okay. V'atena yidaten. Right, that's what he says. He quotes that pasuk. That's that, right. That's exactly what Radak quotes. Okay, pasuk yud beis. Pasuk yud beis says v'hinei noifel. The pasuk continues v'hinei noifel. Like here, the wall is going to collapse. Halo ye'omar, the wall will collapse. V'hinei noifel akir. Halo ye omer aleichem, and then when the wall collapses, people are going to say to the false prophets, "Aye hatiach asher tachtem," and then they're going to be disappointed. How could it be the wall has collapsed? Didn't you, the false prophets, did you not smear the wall with plaster? Did you not tell us everything is going to be fine and good, and we have nothing to worry about? What's going to happen on the day of reckoning? Pasuk is based in the Mitzvah stuff. V'nei nafal akir kishivul akir halo yema mar to elis hoya b'tich. When the wall collapses, the people will say to the false prophets, "What benefit was there then in smearing the wall with plaster?" Ritzonu leimar keshetibutal hanavua, when the prophecy, when your prophecy of the false prophets, when it becomes bottle, halo ye omer, people will say, ma to elas biyofi hamalitza metav hadibur, what benefit was there to us by listening to your beautiful speeches and your mashalim and your expressions, encouraging us and promising us that nothing bad will happen to us. It's all sheker v'chazav, it's all false. Pasuk Yud Beis in Rashi, the ayat yach kach kishitavo hora'a yomer lochem, when evil comes upon the Jewish people, the people will say to the false prophets, ayei ha-shalom shehivtachtem, where is the peace that you promised us? Radak Pasuk Yud Beis, Radak says, v'hinei, halo yomer aleichem, ayat yach asher tachtem, where is the cement which you have smeared? V'chein ayei ha-binyan asher binisem, where is the structure that you built? Ella, lokach, inyan achron lekatzer. So here the Radak over here is asking a question, a basic question. Why here in these two psukim that we've just read are we only focusing on the plaster? Why don't we also focus on the wall itself? The same way the plaster falls off, the wall collapses. So the Radak answers, Einachinami, when we mention the plaster has collapsed, there is no plaster, we're also referring to the wall itself in order to be mekatzer, not to go through every single detail. We only need to mention one, but it certainly refers to both as well. Or we can say, those who build the chayitz, the wall, lo yiyu achare nipol akir, ki yichlu v'yisifu nivyesheker v'yisharu k'tzas min hatichim v'heim Yisrael. Ulnishadim ye omar, ayatir asher tachtem, hine kore achir achayitz kir, ki I'm not sure what this means, I don't know what it means. It means over here, a similar idea is that when one falls away, the other falls away. The Omer v'hinei nafal akir v'atolema ki v'nafal akir v'hichomas yushlaim shenikbo, when the wall falls down, yodua ki nipol hachayitz kan anemar al derech mashal, when the wall of Yushlaim is penetrated, then everyone knows that these Nevi'im were false. Okay, the basic idea over here is that the wall and the plaster represent the false prophets, represent the people.
The second time, it goes back to what he said before.
Yeah.
Who did the tiach?
Was it the people or was it the Nevi'im Sheker?
It was the people. And the reason that we don't refer to the wall itself is that they're all dead.
The Nevi'im Sheker are all dead. They're all dead.
The only people that are left are some of the Israelites, so they talk about the tiach.
The tiach, okay. And according to this, and the other interpretation is the one that the tiach is the tiach are the false prophets. Where then is your full? Where then is your words of encouragement? When the raw comes, everything is lost. Basically, the gist over here is that they will come, their reckoning will come, and churban will come, and then the wall and the plaster will be of no benefit, will have been proven that they were of inferior quality and was nothing more than just a lie. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud says, now we go to a new idea. L'chein koyim Hashem l'kim, Hashem l'kim, uvikati ruach sa'arois b'chamosi. I'm going to cause a stormy wind to break forth in my anger. V'geshem shoytev b'apiyyeh. I'm going to cause there to be a torrent of rain through my anger. V'avnei el gavish b'chemo l'chola. And hailstones will come down in fury. Now, before we even read the Mefarshim, what is noteworthy about this pasuk? The order has been changed. Okay, something to pay close attention to, because in pasuk Yud Aleph, when we mentioned, we first said there's going to be rain, then there's going to be hailstones, and then there's going to be wind. And here it says there's going to be wind, there's going to be rain, and there's going to be avnei el gavish hailstones. So that's a very important thing. First of all, the whole pasuk is repetitious. What do we need the repetition altogether for? Why we already said in pasuk Yud Aleph there are going to be three things that are going to destroy the wall. So why even mention it again? And if you're going to mention, at least be consistent and mention it in this precise order. None of the Mefarshim really told us what is the significance of these three different types of all the Radak says that these three elements, rain, hailstones and wind, represent three different types of enemies. That's all he said. Doesn't explain exactly what they are, but let's be consistent. Who's going to come first? And the only difference we get over here is that we get the different of forms of anger. When it comes to the wind, it's chema. When it comes to geshem, it's af. And when it comes to the avni el gavish, we go back to chema. But it says lebechema lichola.
a different type of chema that will be complete destruction. There's a chema of anger, but nothing happens. And then there's a chema lichola, that has results. Person walks into the room and starts screaming at everyone. Everyone gets scared, but nothing happens. When the guy starts screaming, and then he takes out a weapon and he kills everyone, that's a very big difference. The chema has resulted in churbit. Okay, so I don't have an answer. We have questions here. That, yeah.
Ketzav gadol is the explosion.
Ketzav is the explosion. First you build up, and then you let it out. Okay, but it is a significant point to take note of the change of order. Let's see what it says here in the Mitzvot. The Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel says, "Vokati, Ritzon Elamar, Kain So I shall do ve'efka esakir. I will break open the wall bechamasi in my anger. Al yidei ruach seara, uve'api yia alecha geshem shaitef. And through my anger, there will be geshem shaitef. There will be rain." The Avne El Gavish, Oyrid Aleha, Bechemel Lechaloisar, Ritzon Elamar, Avi Oyev Chazak, Utevutal Hanavu, the false prophecy will have been shown to be false. Okay, so the Radak, Matus does not really explain very much, and there is no Rashi. Radak, Pasuk Yigimel is very short, Lechain Uvakati, Paul Yotze, it is a verb, Lishlishi, Kiaruach Tivaka. The wind will break forth the wall. The wind will break forth this chayitz and the plaster. Pasuk Yudalet. What's going to happen then? V'horasti esakir asher tachtem tofel. I will destroy, demolish, break down the wall that you have smeared with tofel, inferior quality plaster. V'higatihu el haaretz, the wall will come down all the way down to the ground. V'nigla yisoidai, its foundation will be revealed. V'nafla, it will fall. Uchalisem b'soicha, and you will be destroyed with it, b'soicha within it. V'idatem k'ani Hashem, and then you will know that I am Hashem. Pasuk Yudal Mitzvotav v'higatihu esakir agia laaretz kitipa lamata. I will cause the wall to reach the earth. I will cause the wall to be demolished. All the stones will come and make contact with the earth. V'nigla yisoidai al kitipol hakoisel mimal sha'al hayisoid. Yia imke nira hayisoid, the foundation will be exposed. V'nafla kasher tipol hakir oz gam atem tochi atofel tichlu b'seicha. And then when the wall collapses, you, the people that live within, those you, according to the Mitzvah, so the Mitzvah learned the people who smear the wall of the people will be, they will perish b'seicha. Retzolema loyma kashayova hayoy v'tivut al nevua oz dichlu hanevim lahein. Because what it means is he's referring to the prophets. The prophets, these false prophets, will come to an end. They will die. They'll be killed when this korban happens. And you'll know. Kani Hashem hanem l'shalim gimul. Rashi, there is none. Radak pasik. Rashi, one yakir. He Yerushalayim. The kir here refers to Yerushalayim. I guess over here, what you think over here is, in pasuk Yudalid, we've changed from the word chayitz to the word kir. So why? Because we learned before that chayitz represents an inferior quality wall. And indeed it says in the Medrash, the Gemara says that you're allowed to build a chayitz in Shvi'is. This is Perek Yud Gimel.
Did it be the same Yisoid as on the Harris Ball when you say Ha'imrim or Ha'Yisoid Ball?
The enemy says, uproot it until the wall comes down to its foundation, all the way down to the foundation, until the foundation is revealed. Okay, so Yerushalmi says, lo yisachech be'ofar aval oyser chayitz. Okay, I think the Gemara is referring over here to, I'm not even sure. This is Mesechta Shvi'is. I think in the year of Shvi'is, you're not allowed to work the land. You're not allowed to put up fences around your field in the year of Shvi'is, because that is considered to be Avodas Hasodet. But the Gemara, the Yerushalmi says you are allowed to construct a chayitz around your field. The Gemara there asks a question, really? Mahu chayitz? What is a chayitz? And the Gemara says it is a chayitz la mechitza gerua. It's a inferior quality wall. Kamod de Tamar, like it says here in Sefer Yecheskel, v'hu boineh chayitz.
So the Masechta Shviyas Yerushalmi actually references this pasuk that we've discussed yesterday and today, that a chayitz stands in contrast to a kir. A kir is a strong wall, and it is forbidden in the year of Shviyas to build a wall around your field. But the Yerushalmi says you are allowed to build a chayitz, which is an inferior quality wall, which doesn't really help very much to protect the field from the animals and from ganovim. So here the question is, why then Pasuk Yudal are we switching v'horasti esakir asher tachtem tofel? That's a very significant question. Why are we switching? So Rashi is addressing that question by saying the kir here really refers to Yerushalayim. Okay, Einach Hanami, we had the kir and we had the cement, but here it's a mashal for Yerushalayim that it will collapse at this time. Radak Pasuk Yudal v'hasiyosi v'nafla Yerushalayim.
Say that the punishment will intensify. First, the forces will be able to knock down an inferior wall.
And then they'll be able to knock down the kir, the strong fortifications. Absolutely. Radak pasuk gedal v'asiyosi v'nafla Yerushalayim b'soicha, and then the people will die b'soicha and b'soicha Yerushalayim. That's, I think, it's the girsa. Our girsa is b'soicha. What do you have? Anyone following along in pasuk yudalit in the Radak? What Dibur Hamasa? What do you have? Besoicha. So I have a mistake. Another mistake. So many mistakes here. It's unbelievable. Besoicha Yerushalayim kinevi hasheker nergubah binefol akir veloni molid ach echad. The nevi hashek will be killed when the city is conquered. Pasik Tezvav says v'chilei es hamasi bakir. I will finish off. I will spend my wrath. I will finish off es chamosi, my anger back here against the city of Yerushalayim, uva tochim oisoi tofel, and against the nevi'ei sheker that smear the wall with tofel, inferior quality plaster. The oimer lochem ein kir, the a ha tochim oso, and then the people will say, then Hashem will say, Hashem will then say, well, there's no kir. What happened to your city? What happened to Yerushalayim? Ve'ein ha'tochim also, and what happened to your nevi'ei sheker? Where are they? Where are the nevi'ei sheker that promised everything will be good? They're all gone. Now that you see that the city of Yerushalayim has been destroyed, you can see that those people that smeared the wall, which in this interpretation we are saying that those who smeared the wall are the nevi'ei sheker, you will see that they lied to you and they were unfaithful. Pasuk Tetzav in the Mitzudos David, v'chilisi ashlim es chamosi bakir, I will send forth, I will finish off my anger against the kir, which is in Olemar, avatel, it's called divrei hanavua, I will cancel, I will negate all the words of false prophecy, uvat tochim, and I will spend my anger against those who smear the wall, Ritzon Olemar, Behaneviim, Hameyapim, Nevuas, Hasheker, Bemelitza, Neuso, Umizuyefes. I will spend my anger against these false prophets that lie to you. The Oimer Lochem, Oz, and then when the city has been destroyed and the false prophets are dead, then Hashem will mock us and say to us, Oz, Oimer Lochem, Ein Kir. Look at that. You no longer have a homeland. Ritzon Olemar, Hine Loi Niskaima Hanevua. The prophecy, the false prophecy, has not been fulfilled. The ein tukumo el hatichim osohem. The ein tukumo el hatochim osohem. And there's no one, there's no standing for those who smear the wall. Hanevim haheim ki ozichlu gamhema, because these false prophets also have ceased to exist. Okay, let's see what it says in the Radak and in Rashi. Rashi pasuk, Rashi there is in the Rashi Radak pasuk as well. V'chlisi, I will finish off my anger. V'yom elochem, v'oz v'yom elochem. Ein kiri, ein tatoch masov. V'heim nivi Yisrael hanivim nibim milibam. This refers to the false prophets. Shenemar moshul ze aleihem. V'gam Yisrael hamachzikim b'yedem, and also the Jews who supported these false prophets. V'amekablim divrayhem, and the fools who accepted the words of the false prophets. Kalu b'seicha, will be finished off within the city. O becherev, o berav, o bedever, either through sword, through famine, or through plague. Pasuk tezayin. Pasuk tezayin winds down. Nevi'ei Yisrael hanibim el Yerushalayim v'achozim lo chazoin shal. Who am I referring to? This refers to the false prophets, Hanibim el Yerushalayim, that prophesy concerning Yerushalayim that everything will be good, and those that give over visions. And what do they say? They say, Shalom, peace. Everything is fine and good, but Hashem says it's all a lie. The Ein Shalom, there really is no peace. Nu'um Hashem, Elohim, so says Hashem, Radak, Mitzudos Pasik, Tezayin, Nevi'e, Yisrael, Yiforish, Amorov, Lemar. Hashem now is explaining what he said in the previous pasuk, Habaynim vehatochim, the people who build this wall and the people that fortify the wall with plaster, they are the Nevi'e Sheker, who give forth messages that are false. Heim Nevi'e Yisrael, which are liars. Chazoin Shalom, what do they promise? They promise a vision of peace. Nevuah Ma'avtochas Shalom, a vision of a promise of peace, but the truth is, V'ein Shalom, Ritzon Olam V'Sheker Yavtichu, they lie to you, Ki Ein Shalom Miyu Lohem, there's no peace that is designated for them. Okay, let's see Rashi, there is none, Radak Pasik Tezayin, Nevi'e Yisrael HaNibim B'Shvo HaBeis. In Pasik Tezayin, it says, Nevi'e Yisrael HaNibim. Okay, Hanibim has a shva beneath the base. V'yonis and Tergim Hakir, Harishon Koisla, V'yashor Karto, V'tigimis Hakir, Asher Tachtem Yos Karto Di'is Na Bisun, Bo Nevuon Dishkar, V'chein Uvatochim Oso, V'ein Atochim Oso. I'm not exactly sure what he means over here, but he's focused on the word Kir. Is the Kir Yerushalayim, or is the Kir the city? It means pretty much for our purposes the same thing. Okay, now we go to a new sugya, a new topic. Pasuk Yud Zayin begins a new section. This section is now we're focusing on the women. Can you think the women, the men had it bad? So now, starting with Pasuk Yud Zayin, we're now going to give Musar to the women who also practice forms of false prophecy, necromancy, divination. We're going to focus on them. Pasuk is on V'yatov and Adam Simponecha El Binos Amcha. I want you to have a shear for women only. Okay, you ever have a shear for women only? You ever see that once in a while?
Every week.
I used to listen, I don't do it anymore. I don't have patience anymore, but I used to listen to Torah Anytime. Okay, Torah Anytime is probably one of the best websites. Incredible stuff. Anyone ever go to Torah Anytime? Anyone familiar with Torah Anytime? No? These blank looks? You gotta check out the website. It's an unbelievable website. They have Shiurim. They have like probably about 200 speakers all over the world, and they give them the equipment. They give them a video camera, and every time they say a shiur, they upload the shiur to their site. Their finances, their budget is in the millions. I know one of the people.
What's the name of the site?
Torah Anytime. How could you not know Torah Anytime? It's one of the most important, probably the biggest Torah website online besides yutorah.org. Okay, this yutorah.org, they have upline, last I checked, 150,000 shiurim. And every shiur that's given in Yeshiva University and by their alumni all over the world is recorded and is uploaded by the people. And Torah Anytime pretty much does exactly the same thing, but they have a different network of speakers. It's a different collection of speakers. And I heard there's a lot of people who want very much to be on Torah Anytime, and they're very selective now in who they allow to participate and upload. I think they put up every week, he told me, 200 shiurim a week go up on Torah Anytime. I know one of the people, there are three people who run it, and one, his name is Moshe Seifer. I know him well, and I talk to him all the time, and we do different things together. And so it started out as a very yeshivish website, very yeshivish. And over time, they upgraded.
they got more money, and now it's state of the art. I'm telling you, it's top of the line, every aspect. And they're very, very religious. And they have women speakers. And there was one particular woman that I like to listen to. I like to listen to this woman, and I would download the shiurim. What? No. No, I download the shiurim, I would listen to her, and then they upgraded, and then they decided it's not sneus that the men, everything they do is like they promote video. It's not sneus that the men should go and watch the women speak. It's not sneus for a man to go log in and see women, videos of women.
Just listen. Darshan. Yeah.
So they let you, I think they let you download I'm not even sure they let you download the audio. Maybe they don't. I don't remember. So then they decide what they're going to do. They're going to require everyone to register. You just can't go online. You have to register. So I registered. And then lo and behold, where is this woman? She disappeared. Not only did she disappear, all the women disappeared. So I says, no, because now we have a new rule. The Rabbanim, the Gedolei Yisrael, have advised us. Exactly. So what did I do? Don't give me this business. That because I'm a man, I can't go listen to the shir. So I just registered again as a woman. I registered as a woman, so now I can listen to all the women. Right? So when I what? As a transgender. So now I have no limitations. So when I log in, I have a new identity as a woman. So I have access to all of the shirim, the men and the women. Okay, so here Yecheskel is now delivering a shir to women only. Okay, women only are invited to listen to his musar. He's describing these machashefes, these women who specialized in black magic and sorcery, necromancy, divination. I don't even know what these words mean, but it sounds good. And he's going to say very harsh things. Now, let me just tell you some of these as before we run into these things. It's very, very bizarre. These women, they had a technique. The technique is when you come to ask them a question, they would tie under your armpit a pillow and they would put on your forehead a shmata. And somehow, through this pillow and this shmata, they were able to engage some type of kishuf, some type of divination, black magic, sorcery, necromancy, whatever it was. Was it for real or was it make-believe? I do not know, but this was their technique. The Malbim says something fascinating. The reason why they did these two things, they put a pillow underneath your armpit and a shmata on your head. It represented tefillin. The Malbim says, just like the tefillin shel yad is on your arm and the tefillin shel rosh is on your head, and these are obviously tools of Kedusha. When we put on the tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel rosh, if the tefillin are written b'kedusha v'tahara, and the person is kodosh, is holy, the hashva of Kedusha that comes upon a person when he wears tefillin, we all know, I mean, we live in a generation, it's hard for us to appreciate these things, but in previous generations, when a person puts on tefillin, he's bringing upon himself a shefa of Kedusha. Somehow, this was the parallel. Ze luuma ze bara elokim. Just like in this world, there are koiches of kedusha, there are koiches of tumah, and these women threw these pillows, which probably had more. It was more to it. Inside the pillow, it could be there was a kaneah, there was some shemais of tumah, and this shmat they put on your head also was made with some type of koiches of tumah.
With the pillow they put by them and
no,
put on
no.
The
I think they put everything on the person. It seems
on the person.
And by doing so, they were able to bring upon that person forces of tumah, or maybe they did to themselves. We'll see more. Probably the machlokes exactly what they did it to. So that is what they would do is what would they do with this form? I'm just giving you an advance of how we're going to be very quickly in a moment. What would they do? Well, they would right away assess the person if they're going to get paid. They look at the person, they see how they're dressed, they're wearing a nice clean white shirt and a nice suit, so they know the person makes a good parnasa, they're going to get a nice tip, or there's potential to get a nice tip, so they would tell them good things. They would say, don't worry, everything's going to be fine, you're going to be healthy, wealthy and wise, v'chulu v'chulu. But if the person that came to them, was a schlump, and they saw that they're not going to get much of a tip from the person, so they would say, you're doomed, you're finished. You're going to die, and it would cause them, these people, to give up hope. And one thing led to another, because they didn't want these customers to come back and nudge them when they're not getting paid. They go to a doctor. First thing they ask you is, what's your insurance? What's your insurance? So they right away say, well, we don't take that insurance. We're not part of it because that insurance does not give them what they feel is worth it to them. Once I went to the doctor, I thought it was really unbelievable. Once the doctor said, okay, here you can come. And I said, you have an appointment on Sunday. It says, doctor's open on Sunday, but not for your insurance. On Sunday, he only takes patients with very exclusive insurances or those who pay cash. But the regular standard insurance that you have, that he will not see you on Sunday. You have to come during the week. That was something new to me. Either yes or no. Interesting, whatever it is. So here they have the same idea here when it comes to these women who were playing games with their people. They were liars. They had them in their hands. And that's what Hashem here is telling Yechezkel to speak to them in great detail. This goes all the way down to Pasuk, the end of the Perek, describing the women. V'atah v'nadam sim panecha el b'nos amcha. Let's now focus on the women. Hamisnabos milibhen. Everything you notice is in the feminine form, who give over prophecy, false prophecy from their hearts. V'inavei alehen, I want you to speak to them. Let's see the Pasuk Yudches. V'amarta, so say, Koyam Hashem Elokim, hoi, woe, lim sapros, kisosos, to those who stitch, sew, pillows, al kol atzilei yodai, on all armpits. They sew these pillows on the armpits of their customers. And furthermore, v'osos hamispachos, and they create, they fashion kerchiefs, al rosh kol koma, on the head of all human beings. Koma is a code word for a human being. The only creature in this world that stands up is a human being. Animals are on their fours. On the koma, litzodeid nifashos, and they do this to trap these precious souls, their customers. They sucker them in to come in, and they tie these pillows and they put the shmat on their head, and they tell them information in order to trick them that things will be good or not good depending upon how much money they're going to get from them. Hanefashos titzo deidna laami. So Hashem says, you women, you are trapping. You are entrapping the souls of my people. Unifashois lochena tichayena. This repetition, and you are taking their lives. Lochena means to take. Tichayena. Unifashois lochena tichayena. I'm not sure if I'm translating this correctly.
Lochena means yours.
You're taking your own lives. Would you trap souls of my people, souls for your own livelihood? Okay, let's see the mitzudos for a more precise translation. Let's see. Two psukim together. Zayin Yudches. Hamisnabos milibhen. Asher. I'm reading the mitzudos. Bodos milibhen. Ve'oimos benavua. These women are fabricating the future of what's going to happen to their customers. Hoy lemisperos kisosos. Yesh, Hashem says, I am going to complain. I'm going to express my grief. Yesh lehisoinen al hamisperos kisosos. Now, what is this? Kein hoyedarkam. This was the way of the women. Litpar, to stitch. Kisosos kitanos, cushions, small pillows. For hoyu toilos lehanish olin al atzile yidehen, and they would hang it, they would attach it to the armpit of their customers, the people that came to ask them questions. Uvos kisosos and uvoson kisosos hoyu kosmos. These were magical. I guess inside of these pillows there was a kamei, there was shemos, and through this, because we all know with oyv yidoni. What do we know about oyv yidoni? Oyv yidoni, we know that you take a bone of a dead body and you put it under the armpit. And you cause the dead to speak and to predict the future. So here, something along the same lines. They take these pillows, they put it underneath their armpits, and they use it to say divination. It almost sounds like a dream. Chazal say, with regard to chalaymos, hakol holich achar hapisrein.
A person has a dream, and you come to a Talmud Chacham, and you ask him, what is the meaning of the dream? The interpretation, the meaning of the dream all depends upon the interpretation. If you give a good interpretation, then something good will come. If you give a bad interpretation, something bad will come. Yosef, everyone knows this, Chazal, the Gemara, where's the Gemara? The long Gemara.
Brachas?
Haroya, with Rava, with Rabba. There was a person, the person was a dream interpreter, so over here, Radach is telling us that this I never saw before, is that same exact thing works in the Koiches of Kesem. Through the Koich of Kesem, it all depends on what you say. You can make out of it what you want. To those who they want, they predict good. Those who they want, they predict bad. What else do? They put a shmata, a kerchief upon your head. They would make some type of kerchief and they would apply it to the forehead of a person. Anyone that wants to come and seek out this information of the kisamim, they would put this kerchief upon their head. And here in the parentheses he writes, v'yikuch adam koima, a human being is called a koima because it is the only one that stands erect. Al kihu levado hilech b'koima zekufa k'v'lo kol kein k'shor habriyos. Now here are the next hard words which I got stumped on. Litzoideid nifashos. Writes Ritzon Leimar. L'ramos oisam, to deceive them. Their customers. L'havi aleim avoin ashma, causing these people to sin, when they walk out of the shop and they believe what this magician has told them. That is a very great sin. You're not allowed to believe in Kesem. You have to only believe in Hashem. Now here, according to the Mitzudos, it is a rhetorical question. V'chi meharoi litzoidei nifashois al ami lahachatiyam ba'avoin hakesem ulahachayois bezeh nefesh atzmechem lokachas al zeh schar lisparnes ba. It's a rhetorical statement. Is it really the right thing to take advantage of these people in order for you to make a parnasa? Okay, why are these people doing this? Because they need parnasa. Amcho yishol tzrichim parnasa. So you find a couple of some popular people, gullible people, who are willing to believe what you have to say. You make a shop and you tell them the future with your magic ball, and they'll pay you a nice salary and you'll have a nice parnasa. Is the parnasa the excuse for everything? Just because you need to make a parnasa, you have a right to take the neshamos of Klal Yisrael and mislead them, misguide them, and cause them to be nichshol in averos. V'chichogun adover shabavur haschar tachtiu anoshim. Is it really proper? So now let's go back and read the pasuk in its entirety. Okay, let's just get clarity in this pasuk. Pasuk Yitches, v'yamarta. Hashem says to Yecheskel, I want you to address these women. Ko yamar Hashem Elokim. Hoi, Hashem says, I have grief. Lim saprois kisasois al kol atzila yodai. I have grief over these women who are stitching pillows and attaching them to the armpits of their customers. I have grief on these women, the oisois hamispochois, who are making kerchiefs and attaching them al rosh kol koima, on the head of every human being. Litzoideid nifashois, in order to trap their poor souls, their gullible neshamois, to convince them to pay these people to get a few dollars in order to tell them their future, to predict what's going to happen. And now begins a new statement, which is a rhetorical statement. Hanifashois titzai deidna la'ami. Is it really proper to trap the souls of these people so that unifashois, your neshama, your life, your sustenance, lochena tichayena, you take for life? Lochena means to take. If you look in the Mitzudos, shalochena, your life, tichayena, to give life. You read it backwards. Lochena sichayena. Unifashois lochena sichayena. Your life, your soul, you give life to. You sustain yourself from the money you receive from these people at the expense of deceiving them,
trapping their souls by causing them to be nichshol, to sin, to stumble in the terrible avera of believing in this falsehood, which is a form of avodah zarah, and it's going to cause these people to lose their chelik in olam haba. Really? Just because you need parnasa, you have a right to cause your chaverim to lose their chelik in olam haba? It's a very dangerous game. Now, I don't mean to say anything bad, but there's a very big discern sometimes you have in yeshivas. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying anything chas shalom bad about Gedolei Yisrael, Shabipim Anu Chayin, which we have the greatest respect for, but you know, sometimes you have to be very careful. You have your Rosh Hashiva, the person's a Rosh Hashiva, and you have Talmidim, and the Talmidim ask you questions, this life decisions, and if you can tell them certain things which are good for you, you can increase your enrollment. You can create a system where you will have Talmidim, well, you'll have Parnasa, and you'll have this, you'll take in this student, but it's not for the benefit of the Talmud. The Talmud will be a lot better off if you go to another yeshiva. Here you have a yeshiva, so that the student is paying a full tuition. But this student does not belong in your yeshiva. He's having a bad influence on the other Talmidim, and this student is willing to go to another yeshiva. So, just for your Parnasa, you're going to tell a neshama, you're going to trap him. Nefashois, you're going to trap the Talmud. The Talmud should do something which really is not in his best interest, in order that you should have a good parnasa. You have a full tuition. That's a very, very big nesayon. Tremendous. That even when you have Talmudim, the favor I've seen this sometimes is that certain Talmudim who come from certain families, whose families pay the big bills, they get special attention. It's at the expense of Talmidim who really need the attention, but no, those Talmidim are not the ones who come from families that are paying the bills. So just for your parnasa, you're going to devote yourself to some Talmidim and avoid other Talmidim. It's a very, very big nisayon. It's not just here to the Yishekah. These psukim were preserved for all time. All Russian yeshiva have to have this pasuk in their office, on the wall.
That's why Rav Gorelick was famous for doing not that. I mean, he was right once, Rav Gorelick and YU, he was famous. When he had, everybody knew, they were laughing, because when he got a bacher who was really very good and he saw tremendous potential, he called the bacher and he told him to get out of this yeshiva.
Exactly, right.
He told him, you don't belong here.
They say this over and over with Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich. Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich and Tarva Das, he basically, anyone that was good, he got rid of. No, he sent out, because at that time, that tikkufa, Tarva Das, and his, that kufa, many yeshivas started up. Many yeshivas that started when Tarva Das was already established. And these other yeshivas needed Talmidim, they needed Rebbeim, and they came to Tarva Das. Maybe you can send us a Talmud, maybe you can send us, we need a Rebbe, we need some Talmidim. And he sent away the best of the best, and they complained, leave something over for us. Leave something over in the yeshiva. If you read the biography of Shlomo Lubavitch, that theme comes out over and over again, and he was definitely not nichshol in looking out for his own benefit, his own good, by telling Talmidim to do things that would be make it easier for him, but instead you have to do what's in the best interest of your Talmud. It's a very big nisayon. I saw this. What? Everything, all the issues, a lot of different examples of things that he did. It's a very, very big nisayon, this to do what's in the best interest of your Talmidim, not what's in your best interest. It should not be chas v'shalom litzoideid nefashois. And Hashem will say, hanefashois titzoideidna la'ami, in order that you can have it easy, unefashois lochena, your neshama sechayena. Gotta be careful, you gotta be very, very careful what's the right thing to do. Okay, let's see what it says here in Rashi. Rashi pasuk Yud Zayin and Yud Ches basically says the same thing all over again. Okay, Yud Ches Hoy Lemisperos Kisasos. Woe to those people who stitch pillows. Okay, so Mechol is not here. This, I guess, Kut Rosh Belaz, I assume, means a pillow. Kemin Kisasos Ketanos Hoyu Toyfroits V'Toylos Linish Olim Alehem Alatzila Yidehem.
they would stitch pillows and attach them to the armpits of the people, their customers, the kosmos lahen, and they would predict the future. Ba'oisan kisasos kesem shikarim, false predictions of the future. Ulumishem chafetzos oimos kesem tov, to those who they liked, to those who paid a lot of money, they would say give good predictions. Ulumish roitos oimos kesem ra. At sile, this means an elbow, this means the armpit, okay? At sile yad, kamo, at sile yodam, kamo. Talmei shodoi, that's a grammatical term, I don't know what that means, but basically over here it means the armpit. The oisois ha-mis b'chois, those who make kerchiefs, and they attach them to the head of a people, al roshei ha-noshim afheim l'ksoim bohem. These kerchiefs are used also to predict the future. V'lo yodati ma'ahim, I don't know what these kerchiefs are all about. Mitoch shenema v'korati oisam, all I know is the fact that Hashem says, I'm going to rip them off, I'm going to tear them. So that indicates that we're dealing with cloth. Oymar ani shehein shel beged. It must be some type of shmat they put on their head. V'yonasam targumu pas kumrin v'chein tirgem bamos tuluos mechayfon pas kumrim. I don't know what that means either. I assume it means some type of kerchief that they attach to their forehead. Hamis pichois kamo sifacheni not to attach. V'yesh lo yazim, so it means it, you attach it to your head, a piece of cloth that you attach to your head, and you use it to bring to predict the future. Litzoideid nefashos bohein, hein tzados and nefashos legehenin. These women are trapping these poor souls into gehenim. They cause them to believe in avodah zarah, to be nichshol in this terrible avera, and they will suffer gehenim. Shemachzikos yidei harasham liksoim lohem shalom. They strengthen the wicked to predict that everything will be fine and good. Umerapos yidei tzadikim, and they weaken the resolve of the righteous liksoim lohem ra. But when they predict for the tzadikim ra, hanefasha is titzaydedna. Tamihi. So he, Rashi says, like the Mitzudos over here, this is a rhetorical question. Hashem says to these women, is it really proper for a few dollars you're going to go and cause all of these people to lose their chelik in Olam Haba? How dare you? Unefashois lochena techayena. Lochena kamo lochem. Lochena means you. Shatena noitlois sochar. You, the women, you take reward, you take money, cash. You sustain yourself by fooling other people through these false predictions. Okay, Radak, pretty much the same thing. Pasuk Yud Zayin and Yuches V'Ata. Achar Sha'omar Lo Linove Al Nivie Sheker. The beginning of the parak until Pasuk Yud Zayin, we were focusing on the men. We focused on the men, the technique that the men used, and we compared the men to the marshal we gave for the men was the Chayitz and the Tafel and the plaster. Now we're addressing the women. Equality. Achash amalo linovi ala nivi hasheker, amalo linovi al nivius, nivius hasheker, on the false, the women who were false. Hamis nabos milibhen, the oimos kiruach hashem di bebohem magidos asidos, the oimos ze yechiv ze yomos, the ze yovo loy kach vakach lutovo lora, the oisos masek eshafim, the oimos ki binavue bo lohenze. They say things, they predict things, and everything is a big lie. Pasigut ches, the oimeres, hoi, Hashem says, oimer, the oimeres. Now I think we have another change in girsa. No, I'm sorry, V'yamarta. Hashem says to Yecheskel, I want you to address the women. I want you to say in my name that I have grief concerning the women that lemisperois kisasos. Keses who? Kar. Shemasimim tachas haroish kisheshechev adam. It's a pillow that you lie down upon. The person sits upon them. They would use these pillows for witchcraft. They would attach, they would sew, stitch these pillows on the armpit, in the around the armpits of their customers. And they would establish, they would prepare mispachois kerchiefs. Al roish kol koyma min hashoyel mohem. For you, oimos lachem ki al yidei oisa maasim udvarim shehoyu hein oimos moidiois lachem es asidus. And through these pillows and these kerchiefs, they would be able to predict the future. Umash omar koyma. Why are we calling here a person a koyma? Lefi shehoyu mamidois oisa malaglim ba'oit shehoyu oisa samaseh. The Radak says something different than the Mitzudos. So let's review. The Mitzudos says the word koimah is a code word for a human being. Radak says koima doesn't mean a human being. It means that the procedure was to stand. When the witch would tell you what's going to happen in the future, the customer would stand. Atzile yodai, kemo yodayim, the armpit of the hand, v'chein v'orgim choroi, kemo choirim, it's short. Yud dalet yud is short for, there was a missing mem. Like choroi is short for choirim, v'kara aloi chaloinoi, kemo chaloinim, v'atzile him beis hashechi, this refers to the armpit. V'chein tekim yodasan, I'll call marpike yodav, the armpits. The hamarpik who beis hashechi, it's the armpit, kemo shamar v'sin zor levracha, mishnah b'piv u'v'marpik, with you by the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, he came to the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he held the machteh, the shovel under his armpit. Okay, hamit b'chois, k'mor hamit b'chois, v'chim ha'tzifim shemachasois b'chim anoshim p'nehen, some type of kerchief. Litzoydeh nefashois, ki nefashois ha'tzadikim ha'tmimim hem ki ilu nefashois nitpasois b'mitzudaschem, Shaten oimos alehem shetimosena, they're going to die. Lefi she'ena shayalim b'chein, because they don't ask properly. Sheyedu ki avoinu, sheyadu, they, what? Ki avoinu, the afal pi chein hei mispachadim midivrehem, v'soivim ki hein yoidois huasidois, they, the tzadikim, are fooled. They really, really deep down, they know that it's a lie, but they are influenced by these witches, and for that reason, they're going to be punished. Avol l'rishoyim hamachazikim b'yedeyem b'sholim b'chem b'chem v'nesim lo sichoreihen, but the rishoyim will pay good. They pay good money to get a good answer. Oymois lochem, so the witches tell them, shetechayeni nafshoysam v'tovo lochem toiva, they tell them that they're going to live a longer life, nothing to worry about. Hanefashois tit soidedna liami. The hey is a hey hasheela. Here is a rhetorical question. Everyone is on the same page. Rashi, Radak, Mitzudos. Hashem is asking a rhetorical question. Is this the proper thing to do? Ha hey l'sheela kmo hadrochai lo yitochnu v'chisach shavu. Is it proper shetit soidedna nefashois ami v'heim hatmimim? Is it proper to go and trap the souls of my people? Unefoshois lochena tichayena, v'nafshois shehein lochen. Your souls, you, the women who do this, v'heim nefoshois harishoim. Oh no, he's saying something different. V'heim anefoshois harishoim tichayena isam ki ilu b'divreichem nefoshois tluyos lahamis lahachios v'yenas and tirgim. Okay, so before we go further, I think what he's saying over here is saying something different than Rashi and the Mitzudos. He's saying over here is, it's a rhetorical question. What he's saying over here is it proper? The first part of the pasuk refers to the tzaddikim, and the second part of the pasuk refers to the rishoyim. Is it proper? Hanefashois titzoydedna liami. Is it proper that you should trap the nefashois of the tzaddikim and tell them that they're going to suffer, so that they should suffer gehenim? Unefashois lochena, and the wicked, the souls of the wicked people that come to you who are rishoyim. You lie to them and you tell them, Tichayena, you have nothing to worry about. Everything is going to be good and fine as long as you pay me my salary. I'm going to promise you that everything is going to be fine and good. So we have over here a major difference between Radak on one side and Rashi and the Mitzudos on the other side. Rashi and the Mitzudos explain this rhetorical question, how dare you fool people for the purpose of your parnasa. And when it says in the Fashois Lochena Tsechayena, means you, the witch, the woman who's doing this, you are supporting yourself. According to Radak, no, that's not what it means. It means is that you're telling the tzaddikim they're going to die. You're telling them bad news. That's called trapping. By the tzaddikim la'ami means the tzaddikim. And Unefashois Lochena, your neshamois, meaning wicked people who are just like you, when they approach you and they ask you a question and they pay you a nice salary, sechayena, you tell them all is fine, all is good, you're going to live forever, there's nothing to worry about. How dare you go and pervert the truth? And then he brings up the Targum of Targum Yeres and Tegim HaNefoshes Ami Atun Yochlin Le'abodo Ulekayom Asa. Are you able to go and give life and death? Halo nafsho sa choin dil choin lo yechlun likayama. Your own neshamos, you can't live life. Okay, so far we have another interpretation. The Targum, the last interpretation is what we says by Rashi, and we have a new interpretation from the Targum that means you think you can control life and death for other people? You can't even control the life and death for yourself. So how foolish do you think that you have control of life and death for someone else? That's how the Targum translates this pasuk. Hanefoshos titzai deidna li'ami. Do you think you're going to trap the lives of my people by telling some people you will live and telling other people you will die? That's nonsense. Unefoshos lochena sechayena. Can you guarantee your own existence? Can you guarantee that you will be alive tomorrow? If you can't guarantee your own life, what makes you think that you have the power to guarantee the life of someone else? Okay, so Sach HaKol, we really have here three interpretations of what this last part of the pasuk is. It's a very complex expression. Parnasa, Tzadikim versus Rishoyim, or who do you think you are to decide mi yichyo mi yamos? When you yourself don't know if you'll be around tomorrow. Another interpretation?
I mean, Stafos interprets part of their procedure that they used to carve sticks. Some of them were carved 20 or 30, and whoever gave them a higher pay, she used to take out the stick that had like 30 years. Leave another 30 years.
So
it was
fixed.
In their eyes.
Okay. And just to review again, remember the Malbim says these two things corresponded to the Tilun Shel Yad and Tilun Shel Rosh. Just like the Tilun Shel Tilun Rosh represents the Koichos of Kedusha, these two things represented the Koichos of Tumah. All right, we're going to stop here. Mishnah Torah, Pigel, Pasuk, Yutes. Okay, I have to go now.